He truly is good. I trust the King of your heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible this morning, find, if you would, please, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, the fourth chapter, will be where we begin. We'll find ourselves very quickly in the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew. And then, depending upon how the service is going, maybe the second chapter of the book of John. Matthew chapter number 4, I will let you know that I need your prayer and your help as I preach the message today. I've kind of got a double whammy against me. I'm preaching an introduction message this morning on a Sunday morning. Anytime you preach an introduction message to a series, it's just that. It's the beginning, and I'm asking God to help us to make it powerful and practical in our lives. I'm also preaching you a message today that is introducing a series that will be preached on Wednesday nights in our Bible study. Pastor, why would you introduce a series Sunday morning that you're going to be preaching on Wednesday night? Good question, fair question. You know, I had the wonderful privilege of growing up in a Christian home. I grew up where my dad was a pastor, and I grew up with a foundation of church. Basically, we were at church almost all the time, lived across the street from the church, constantly going to the church every day. And I grew up with a church foundation and an understanding of how church was organized. I have found that the world has changed since then, and that foundation is no longer prevalent, per se, in everyone's mind, the same way that I was brought up with. I've also found in ministering in South Florida, as the people of the world make their way to South Florida, they did not grow up in what I would call the American church, and so sometimes I have to have some understanding. I say that to say this. Sometimes people think that the services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night are always the same service. And I've had some very dear, precious people just kind of God bring into my path to help me understand that. Some people think, well, I've come Sunday morning, so I don't need to come Sunday night. I've already heard the message. And that's understanding, because the way that churches are organized now, the pastor preaches one time, they can't fit all the crowds in the building, and so they'll videotape the pastor, nothing wrong with that, and they'll do a service Friday night, Saturday night, 3 on Sunday, and whatever, trying to get the people, and so you kind of just pick what service you want to go to, and it's the same service. That's not the way it's done here. Sunday morning is one message, Sunday night is another message, and Wednesday night is a different message as well. And I was just trying to get the Wednesday night crowd. They know who they are, but I was wanting to whet your appetite a little bit for the Bible study that we are going to have on Wednesday night. And if you can make Wednesday night Bible study, let me encourage you. You eat 3 square meals a day for physical nourishment. Some eat a little less, some eat a couple more than 3 a day. However, throughout the week, we provide 3 spiritual messages to help nourish you. And so I'm introducing it for Wednesday night. Another thing I want you to know is that God has very clearly impressed upon my heart this series. And I want to preach to you a series with a subject title, Jesus, the Great Physician. And it's so fitting that it's on Wednesday night, because in our Wednesday night Bible study, we deal a lot of times with illness. We deal with spiritual illness. We deal with mental illness. We deal with emotional illness. And sometimes we deal with physical illness. Pastor, what do you mean you deal with that? Do you have like a healing service or so on? No, we pray for one another. We bear one another's burdens. We preach the word of God. And we have found many times on Wednesday night, we are worshiping the Lord for his work as the great physician in the lives of people. I was reading a book written by a man you may know, you may not know. His name is G. Campbell Morgan. Does anybody know who G. Campbell Morgan, the great Bible scholar, was? He wrote a book entitled The Great Physician. I'm using that as a syllabus for this series. And I believe that God is going to do a wonderful work in the hearts of the believers. But I'm also excited that God is going to do a wonderful work to a lost and dying world that needs the great physician through God's people. Look, if you would, please, at Matthew chapter 4. And pick up, if you would, please, at verse number 23. And let me give you the foundation for where we are headed. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them." Verse 25 is important as well. "And there followed him," would you say those two words, please? "Great multitudes of people." The Lord Jesus, while he was on the earth, referred to himself a couple of times as the great physician. It did not take long once he began to expose himself as a physician for the world to understand who he was in this ability. Many times Jesus would come into a village or would come into a city. He would go into the synagogue, and as God, he would begin to wonderfully heal those that had physical problems. Some of them had mental problems. Some of them were demon-possessed. Some of them had spiritual problems. And once he had begun that work, it spread like wildfire to the hills and to the cities and to the valleys around. And so fame of the Lord spread quickly. Imagine, without even social media, it went very quickly throughout the land. And it was very difficult for the Lord. And the Bible says that as that fame of his ability as a physician began to be known, multitudes began to follow him. And it wasn't very long that as Jesus was exalted as the great physician, there was an exposure of a problem in humanity. You see, sick people find a physician. And as the Lord Jesus is exalted, he's drawing these people that were in the shadows, these people that were distant, these people that may not be well known, but now they've got hope. Now they've got a healer. And so everywhere he moves, there becomes his powerful following, and they're scrambling like that little woman with the issue of blood. Just some of them to very touch the very hem of his garment. Others, they want him to touch them. Blind men, as he walked by, would scream, "Jesus, Jesus." Others would tear up roofs and they would let sick people down in the roofs. Just get them to Jesus. He can help them. By the way, if you get to Jesus today, he can help you. Fascinating as the physician, how confident Jesus was in his own ability. And one of the conversations he has in John chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, Jesus makes this statement about himself. He talks to them about being upset at him, and he makes this statement about his ability. He said, "I made a man every whit whole." If you have cancer today, you go to an oncologist. If you have a specific disease, you go to a specialist. Earthly physicians specialize in one area of practice unless they're a general practitioner. But even a general practitioner doesn't do surgeries and so on. If you need a surgery, you go to a surgeon. If you need some help mentally, you go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. If you need some help in other areas, we target specifics and we those that are specialists. The one thing about the Lord Jesus was he was able to touch a man in his whole being. Jesus was able to physician and take care of the whole personality of a person. Of course, his ultimate specialization was in the spiritual direction of those lives. Two times he refers to himself as the physician. I want to read you about one of them. Go to Matthew chapter 9. It's imperative that I lay this groundwork in Matthew chapter number 9. This conversation is also recorded by Mark, and it's also recorded by Luke. I'll give you the setting in just a minute. Let me give you the verses. We're going to jump right in verse number 12. You find in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 12. And by the way, are you there? Because I'm going to need a word in a minute. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them. Now, follow very carefully what Jesus says here. They that be whole need not a physician. That ought to make sense in your brain, right? They didn't have wellness checkups back then. Your insurance allows you 2 wellness checkups. They that need that be whole need not a physician, but they that are, say it, class, sick, right? Jesus is making this statement in the house of Matthew. Now, he's making this statement because he's under tremendous scrutiny. And he is absolutely being criticized for who he is as a physician. And he finds himself with an accusation made against him. If you were to look at verse number 11 of that chapter, you find the accusation. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? You need to understand this was a statement that came out of the religious elite of the Jews. This is a Jewish Pharisee attacking the Lord Jesus because he was around Jewish people. Now, these are specific Jewish people. A publican was a Jewish man who extorted the Jewish people, and the Jews hated that man. That publican worked for the nation of Rome. That publican was paid commission. The more he extorted from his Jewish brethren, the more he would get paid. They hated him. Here's how bad they hated him. They lumped him with the harlots and the prostitutes and the evil that was in the street they called sinners. Jesus is actually standing in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 9, he's given it's in Matthew's house, who was a publican, that God came to his change his life. So here's the accusation by the religious Pharisee of the day, the guy that thought himself to be spiritually healthy. He says to the disciples, why is your master over there with sick people? Sick spiritually people, basically is what he's saying. Jesus heard that, and Jesus says, I'm over here because those that are whole don't need a physician. By the way, the physician is usually with sick people. Verse number 13, if I had it, would curl my hair. But go ye and what, class? Learn what that meaneth. Wow. He goes on to say, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but, say it, class, sinners to repentance. So Jesus here, as the great physician, he's He's letting them know his primary purpose in his work as the physician. And his primary purpose as his work of a physician was to deal with the soul of humanity. He would deal with the mental illness. He would deal with the emotional illness. He would deal with the physical illness. But he had come to call the sinner to repentance. And in this case, the Pharisee, he didn't think himself to be a sinner. He thought himself to be righteous within himself. He didn't need anybody to die for him. He didn't need anybody to pay his way. He's not in that process. So Jesus says to them, in your mind, you don't understand that you're spiritually ill with the disease of a sin nature. You think you're okay. These people over here who you despise, they know there's something wrong spiritually. They know they need a touch. Therefore, I'm able to be a physician to them because they see they're sick. I cannot be a physician to you because you think you're healthy. Tell me you're with me. You understand where I am? So based on that premise, we're going to begin to walk on Wednesday nights through the life of the Lord Jesus as he meets different people from all over the region, different characteristics, different opportunities, different experiences. And we're going to be able to watch how the Lord Jesus, as the great physician, meets people in their need spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And some of the most precious things that we're going to be able to see is his bedside manner. I was with a man this past week. He's fired a bunch of his doctors because of their bedside manner being lousy. I don't blame him. I will tell you this. Jesus has a wonderful bedside manner. But also within his uniqueness, as we watch him deal with humanity, I want you to see his diagnosis and his ability to prescribe. Now, sometimes on Wednesday night, this is so important. People come on Wednesday night and they'll say, Pastor, I've had the CAT scan, the PET scan, the MRI. They've done all of the tests, all of the x-rays. They've ran my blood. They've done the catheterization. They've looked in. They've done the exploratory. Pastor, they just can't find my problem. So on Wednesday nights, we've actually prayed, Lord Jesus, as the great physician, help the earthly physician to diagnose the problem. And we will say things like, where they can't diagnose it, you diagnose it. And we've had wonderful testimonies where God has gone on and diagnosed their problem. It's very dangerous to be improperly diagnosed. Horrifically dangerous. At the same time, it's very dangerous to have medicine prescribed to you that's wrong. For example, I'm deathly allergic to penicillin. You give me penicillin, you'll have my funeral on Wednesday. Don't think about it. Penicillin may help Malcolm and Aaron, but it's not going to help me. You let a medication get prescribed that's wrong, and it can be very dangerous. Jesus never diagnoses the problem wrong, and his prescriptions are never wrong. All this is foundation. The part I want you to just understand is that as the great physician, Jesus knows humanity universally, but he also knows you individually. I don't know a more sacred relationship outside of marriage than a doctor-patient relationship. That doctor-patient relationship, even in our world today, is so precious. We had Joe Hinkle's funeral. When it was time to eulogize that man, his oncologist came and eulogized him because of the relationship between doctor and patient and how it had touched both sides. That was a beautiful picture of just the relationship there and its sacredness as doctor and patient. So in one way, Jesus is able to be the great physician for all humanity, but he's also able to be your personal physician. Who's your primary care doctor? Think of his name right now. I don't have a primary care doctor. Okay. I guarantee you, Jesus ought to be everybody's primary care doctor. In the uniqueness of the Lord, now this is introduction, don't lose me. You paid good money to think. In one way, Jesus approaches man in the same way. But in another way, Jesus never approaches two human souls in the same way. So in one way, he has a general approach to humanity, and in another way, he has an individual approach to humanity. Let me show you this biblically. John chapter 2. Very quickly, go there. You need to read it so you understand what I'm going at. John chapter 2. Come if you would, please. Don't worry. I will make this very practical in just a minute. Let me take that back. Jesus better make it very practical. John chapter 2. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Sounds good. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. That's bad. Why wouldn't he do that? Verse 24. Because he, say those three words, knew all men. Right? Look at verse 25. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So Jesus is there. He does these miracles. These folks believe upon him is what they're saying. But the Bible says that Jesus did not commit himself to them. Why? Because Jesus knew those men individually. By the way, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You might be sitting here religious and pious and doing your church duty today, and your heart is far from God. I guarantee you, God don't give a lick that your hair. He cares about your heart. So the great physician, Jesus, looks on these men, and he knows them individually, and he does not commit himself to them. And at the same time, he says, and I understand man universally. What a physician. This is not like any ordinary physician who learns things from observation or learns things from x-ray or learns things from test. Jesus Christ, as the great physician, knows you intimately because he is God. And he created you. Why is this important? Because as the great physician, Jesus, when you talk about universally, he sees the need of humanity. Write these three things down and don't miss them. The first area that Jesus sees in humanity universally is he understands that man is spiritual in essence. Write this down. Spiritual in essence. This ain't too deep for you. You can swallow this. You are spiritual before you were ever physical. What did he say? Huh? I'm spiritual before I was physical. Yes, and a good doctor knows that. What'd he say? I said a good doctor knows that. Pastor, how am I spiritual before I'm physical? Oh, don't you remember what God said about Jeremiah? Jeremiah, watch this. Before I formed you, I knew you. Is Jesus interested in your physical health? Absolutely. Is he interested in your mental stability? Absolutely. Is he interested in your emotional fragility? Absolutely. But our world has got their focus wrong. Our world is so concentrated on our physical lives. those things that we sense, taste, smell, feel, touch, how I'm blessed or discouraged physically, that they have forgot that we're spiritual first. So as Jesus is addressing in the Great Physician the malady of the day, that's why he said, I came as a doctor not to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call the sinner to the repentance. Well, we're not sinners. My Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the man who thinks himself to be spiritually right apart from Jesus thinks himself to be spiritual healthy. He don't need a doctor. Get away from me. Don't shove that religion down my throat. I don't need Jesus. So Jesus goes over here and deals with the sick. But my friend, in reality, human nature universally has a spiritual illness. We were born sinners. And all of the other difficulties that build on top of that, that is the core of that. Everything else which is at fault is because of my spiritual problem. I was born a sinner. So Jesus, as the great physician, first thing he's going to do is he's concentrated on the spiritual part of humanity. Well, Pastor, do I need to get my palm read? No. But you ought to read the Word of God. The other way he understands this is we're spiritual in essence. We're sinners in experience. Write that down. We're sinners in experience. What do you mean we're sinners in experience? Well, this is the evidence of our spiritual problem. You see, we as sinners, we have missed the mark. We are failing to be what God wants us to be. It's and really the evidence of that is because of our behavior. And then the symptom of that is we're out of order in our personalities. We're nuts. We're maddening. We can't find right from wrong. We call evil good and good evil. So generically or universally, mankind is is spiritual in essence. And the great physician wants to deal with our spiritual part of us first. By the way, that spiritual part of man died in the garden. The evidence that our spiritual part is ailing is we're sinners by experience. I had a good dad. What am I talking about? I have a good dad. Sorry, Dad. You know, my dad never taught me how to think dirty. I don't remember him sitting me down and saying, okay, now first you get this magazine, and then you go get this video. They didn't have a computer when I was growing up. Don't you wish we could go back to not having computers? Now, Tom, if you sit there and you look at it long enough and you let it build in your mind and then you develop it and then, Tom, you work your way. My dad never did that to me, but I was good at it. My dad never brought me in and said, I'm going to teach you how to lie, son. He never brought me in and taught me how to steal, but I stole. Why would you tell us that? I'm telling you that because I'm spiritual in essence, but I'm a sinner by experience. See, I was born with a sinful nature, and the evidence that I have a sinful nature or that I'm ill that way is that I sin by choice, by my own recognition. It was within me, and then I chose to do that, transgressing the law of God. Spiritual in essence, sinners by experience. So when the great physician comes to me to show me my true need, he begins to show me the symptoms. You're a liar. You're a thief. You thought tremendously wicked. Look at all of these symptoms go away from the Word of God. We would agree with that, right? So I have a problem. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So as a sinner by experience, I needed the touch of the great physician. That's why I had to be born again. This is where I am. See, born from my earthly mother in my I was born spiritually dead, spiritual illness. I'm spiritual in essence, which means when I'm dead and my spirit and my soul is no longer, and you lay my body out here, I'm not here. I'm with the Lord. But in essence there, I was dead in my trespasses in sin, and I needed to be born again. Something had to be right about that. God, the physician, had to take care of my spiritual problem first. And so the Lord Jesus, as the great physician, came and said, Tom, I'll tell you what your problem is. You've never been redeemed. You've never had me come into your heart. You've never received the nature that I have. You've never been forgiven. You've never come under blood. You've never put your faith and trust in me. Tom, I died for you. I was buried for you. I rose again for you. I've done everything a physician can do for you. And there's help there, Tom. And if you will receive me as the physician of your soul, I will bring to you eternal life. That's all mankind universally. I simply ask you this question. Have you done that? Spiritual in essence, sinners by experience, savable by grace. Write that down. Sinners or spiritual in essence, sinners by experience, savable by grace. You will never hear God say, there's nothing more I can do. You will never hear God say, there's nothing more that I can do for you. See, God understands, Jesus understands as the great physician, mankind universally. All of us together, spiritual in essence, sinners by experience, savable by grace. Pastor, I hear this word salvation. I've been attending for some time. I just don't think God can save me. My friend, God can save every human that has ever been born. So this is how the great physician diagnoses us universally. But his prescriptions are what I want you to see. His prescriptions are his work. Yes, he approaches every human soul, spiritual in essence, sinner by experience, savable by grace. But he never approaches us the same way in his variety of methods. And that's so beautiful. Because as the great physician, he knows your makeup. He made you, by the way. He knows how you tick. He knows what makes you angry. He knows what makes you happy. He knows the taste buds on your tongue. He knows the appetites in your soul. He knows what makes you afraid. He knows what makes you secure. He knows what you're mad about. He knows what you love. He knows where you're broken. He knows where you're vulnerable. He knows where you're strong. He knows where you're weak. He knows everything about you individually. Tell you what. If my doctor is going to treat me, I want my doctor to know as much about me as he possibly can. My dad is one of those people that goes to the doctor and never tells him what's wrong. He figures that's the doctor's job to figure it out. So my mom said, you're never allowed to let your dad go to the doctor by himself again. So mom goes now and mom says, this is his problem. Well, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. Malcolm and I are great friends. He's a spiritual mentor and encouragement to me in a marvelous way. Malcolm is spiritual in essence, sinner by experience, and savable by grace, just like me as a man. But God worked independently in his life, and God worked with a variety into my life as the great physician to bring us to the healing of salvation. This man had to go through literal hell to get saved at 30. I got saved as a 5-year-old little boy. Why didn't I have to go through literal hell? He had to go through literal hell. Because Jesus knew how to work in Malcolm Redmond's life independently and with variety to where Malcolm could see the work of the great physician and be drawn into salvation. People ask me all the time, why do I have to have cancer? Why did my son have to die? Why do I have to have this disease? Why can't I have this money? Why do I have all the problems? What in the world? Why is God doing to me what God's doing to me? Because the great physician knows you, and his ultimate goal is to bring you into a spiritual salvation with himself. And he will work in your life in a precious way that confronts you in your mind, that only works within your mind. That's how creative he is. Man, Pastor, I got so much going on in my life right now. Right. That's probably the great physician working in your life to bring you to a surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'm a Christian. My problems, I deal with mental instability. I battle in my mind all the time. Pastor, my problem is I'm emotionally fragile, man. I can hardly make it. Precious people talk to me all the time about finding a way to alcohol or satisfy their emotion or find some kind of ground. Pastor, my problem is I'm dealing with a physical problem right now, and I just need help. Right. I don't care what illness you have. Jesus is the physician for it. And on Wednesday night, we're going to go through and we're going to watch him work with people. And I promise you, you're in the book somewhere. Amen. It's going to be fascinating. Shall we pray?